J.W. French has just called into Fleming Field in South St. Paul to land his biplane.
The 91 Hotel has got the traffic inside on crosswind.
After taxiing and then shutting down, he sits for a chat in one of the hangars. French has a youthful sparkle and white hair, but he also has the outward reserve that many pilots, particularly older ones, have learned to keep their emotions in check because it can mean the difference between life and death in a flying emergency. J.W. French says the seeds for his flight began more than 30 years ago when he met a pilot by the name of Sam Burgess in San Antonio, Texas. Burgess had just written a book about flying a replica 1930s biplane he built himself across the U.S.
I read the book and I read it again, I read it again. I said, Sam, I can't think of a greater adventure than what you did. And he said, well, Jimmy, why don't you do it? That's the only person I ever let call me Jimmy other than my grandmother. I said, Sam, I got an engineering business to run. I can't take off for 3 or 4 months and fly around the country like that.
French says Burgess had a long and distinctive flying career in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. French was impressed with Burgess's trip across the U.S. because the plane had only a 200-mile range between fuel stops, no electrical system, and no starter. The only navigation equipment was a compass, a set of charts, and a watch. The longer the two were friends, the more Burgess kept after French to fly to each of the states. So when French retired, he got serious, looking for the right biplane. About the year 2000, his friend Burgess grew weak and disabled from an illness whose cause was somewhat of a mystery. What French knew was that this same man who'd flown in three wars and whose commanding presence filled a room ended up taking his own life. In the next 5 years, French again went looking for the right plane. He finally found it by building it, and he even touched down in 38 states. But that plane needed a bigger engine to climb in mountain air to finish the rest of the trip. Then French underwent two shoulder surgeries that shook his resolve and dampened his spirits.
And I spent about 3 months in a recliner because I couldn't lay down in bed, and all I did was eat pain pills and eat food and ballooned up to about 200 pounds. Felt sorry for myself and sold the airplane and thought I'd never get it done.
French realized he couldn't spend the rest of his life like he was, and battled through months of painful physical therapy to regain the strength and flexibility needed to get back in the cockpit.
Oh, it wasn't just the idea of having the fun and getting to do it, but then it became the commitment with Sam.
His respect for Burgess grew as he experienced the rigors of a 48-state journey. The best part of the trip, says French, was touching down in the different states and not knowing who he'd meet. He remembers landing on a grass runway in Washington State when a man came to greet him by jokingly making fun of French's bouncy landing. The man told French he was a psychologist and had done work with an assisted suicide group called Death with Dignity.
I had some problems with the way Sam ended his life until I talked to him. He said, Sam wasn't a coward in ending his life. He was courageous in ending the kind of death he was going to have. And that made a lot of sense to me.
For French, flying what he calls the Sam Burgess Memorial Junket helped him find peace with the death of his friend. In 1996, the EAA inducted Burgess into its Home Builders Hall of Fame. Burgess's plane will be on display at the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh. I'm Elizabeth Stawicki, Minnesota Public Radio News, St. Paul.